We're in Psalm 142 tonight. I'd like to try to finish up the psalm tonight, talking about instruction. This is the last in those Maskell psalms, psalms of instruction. And it's a Maskell of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. He said in verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. If correctly read, that's Psalm 142. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the joy and the privilege to be in the house of God on Wednesday night. And Lord, we're very much looking forward to revival next week. Lord, to the choir singing, the special singing that'll go on each night. God, just looking for you to do something in hearts and in lives. Lord, I do rejoice in the young man that was saved Sunday morning. But Lord, I do have a burden on my heart for the several others, our Father, that attended this service Sunday. And Lord, I know they don't know you, and they know they don't know you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll work in their hearts and in their lives. May that seed that's been sown bring forth fruit unto life everlasting. Lord, help us tonight. Clothe us in our calling, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You better not say, amen. Amen. Brother Dale, that's the way I heard it sung for years. Amen. You know what I mean? And I know that. And we used to do some things to liven up the services in prison. And boy, they would shout amen on that. I mean, they would shout. And a victory in Jesus. There was a place in there where there's a little break, and they'd all holler, praise God. Amen. It was a blessing. A blessing. We're looking at this cave experience in David's life, and we're looking at the thought there's some instruction, some ways that we can get some help when we're in those cave experiences, that experience when you really feel like you're all alone, and yet the Bible told, Jesus said, I'm not alone. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God never will be alone. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, but he'd go with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. And we brought out a couple of things last Wednesday night, and I'm just going to touch on them and move on. But we get help by being honest. The Bible said in verse 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Did you know the Bible said he knows what we have need of even before we ask? And I believe that God, the Bible teaches that God draws nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. I was speaking with a man today and through text messages, and the thought came to my mind that years ago, I don't remember who the preacher was, but he said, I've never known God to do a mighty work with a man until that man is broken. Amen. And God has a way. Amen. He knows. He draws near to that broken heart. And we talked about Hezekiah when he got that letter from Rabshakeh, and that he spread it before the Lord. He took it to the house of God and he spread it out before the Lord. Reminds me of somebody said, you know, they were in a strait and said, well, all we can do is pray. And somebody else said, you mean it's come to that? Boy, that shouldn't be. Amen. That ought to be our first avenue. Amen. Is to take it to the Lord in prayer. And David starts in Psalm 142, and he's in the cave, and he takes it to the Lord. He's being honest with God. But then we need to know when we're being honest with God. He said, I poured out my complaint before him, and I showed before him my trouble. We need to know that we're being heard. In verse 3, he said, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knewest my path. And so we know tonight that we serve a God that's not deaf. We serve a God that's not blind. He can see. He can hear. He can love. Hallelujah. And he does love. Amen. He can be burdened with us. The Bible said that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. Because he's been through so much more, actually, than we will ever go through. And so we need to know we're being heard. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. And, of course, the Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, that'd be a good verse if you don't have it committed to memory, to memorize this week. Amen. We need help. We need help in America. You know, I'm telling you, the lawlessness is swiftly taking over. And we need to pray. We need to talk to God about it. Amen. And then we want to give you this tonight. We need to understand when we're in those cave experiences, a lot of people don't respond right in those places in life. And one of the reasons they don't respond right is they don't realize this third thing. You and I are being hunted. Amen. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? The Bible said here, in the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. And the scripture that came to my mind was 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. By the way, do you know what David's doing in this psalm? He's rolling it over on the Lord. Amen. He realizes God cares for him. Amen. The Bible said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You say, Pastor, I don't have Saul outside of the cave hunting me. No, there's somebody a whole lot worse than Saul hunting you and I. Amen. And got a whole lot more power than Saul had hunting you and I. But I just need to stop and say this. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. We can cry, Abba, Father, and our Lord, amen, knows that we're being hunted. The Bible said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. How many is glad that you're going to be perfect one day? Amen. And really the word also, not only are we going to be like Jesus and be perfect, but the word is used in the sense of maturity. God uses these trials. He uses these cave experiences to mature us in our Christian life. Amen. The devil, he does things to try to destroy us. And God allows things to try to develop us. There's a big difference, say amen, between being destroyed and being developed. I was reminded as I read that about make you perfect. I was in a restaurant not too long before Brother Joe Bird passed away. He pastored in this community for many, many years. He buried a lot of people, married a lot of people in this community. I had the privilege to go to Israel with Brother Joe years ago, he and Brother Winston Sweeney. Wonderful, wonderful men of God. But Brother Joe was in that restaurant and he was in his wheelchair. I believe it might have been out at the, I'm trying to remember the name of it, Miss Eve. They closed it down. You were talking about it the other day. It's where they have the across from Wexford House. What's it called? I can't hear. Mama's House. Yeah. Mama's House. That's what it's called. I run into Brother Joe and I said, Brother Joe, how you doing? And this is what he said. Just a few days from perfection, preacher. just a few days from perfection. Amen. You think about that. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, his health broke and he got to where he couldn't walk and he got to where he couldn't get out. He couldn't do what he wanted to do, but he still had his eyes on the master. He had his eyes on the prize. Amen. And so we're being hunted. But then I want to give you this. In verse number 4 and verse number 5, this will help you in the cave experiences in life. Good instruction. David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He said, I cried unto the Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. I'll share something with you here that God helped me to see in the Scripture years ago. But the fourth thing in the message tonight is we need to realize that we're being hid. The Word of God tells us, beloved, that our life is hid with Christ in God. And I'll tell you where I got that in the text. David's in the cave, and Saul's hunting him like a dog. Amen. The enemy's on the outside. But look here what he said in verse number 4. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I want to say this to you tonight. I really don't believe that was exactly true, but I believe that's how David felt in his heart. The devil specializes in backing people up into the corner and trying to make them understand and believe that nobody cares. Amen. When, beloved, there is somebody praying. There is somebody that cares. There is somebody that will help you bear your burden along the way. And I know that David had some people, but there was no man right there with him. Now, the Bible said in verse number 4, refuge failed me. And then in verse number 5, the Bible said, Thou art my refuge. Some of you have heard me teach this before, but I'll tell you, there are people in this room tonight that have not heard this. But I want you to know, years ago as I studied this, I was preaching through a series of messages entitled, When My Heart is Overwhelmed. You see, four times in the book of Psalms, the Bible uses the phrase, when my heart or when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. And I was in my study and I looked at this, and listen, I'm not real smart, but there's a problem here if you just look at it on the surface. The problem is this. In verse number 4, David said, refuge failed me. In verse number 5, David said, Thou art my refuge. Now I want to ask you this. How many has God ever failed? Zero. God has never failed anyone. And so I knew there was a problem. There was something that I was not seeing. Because he said in verse number 4, refuge failed me. In verse number 5, he said, Thou art my refuge. I don't know the name for that thing, Jason. Theosis, whatever it is. Anyway, if you get Strong's Concordance, you can get the Greek word or the Hebrew word for the English word. And I do it a little easier than that. I have what they call an online Bible program on my computer. And so you can hit a button, and after every word, it will give you the Hebrew or the Greek word. And so what I found out when I looked at it is there's two different words for the word refuge in the Hebrew language that were interpreted into the English language, the word refuge. The first word, beloved, it means, it's pronounced manasi. And when David said, refuge failed me, it means a retreat. It means a fleeing. It means a way to flee, flight, or a way to escape. David was in the cave, and there was no way out. That's what he said. Refuge failed me. Here I am. I can't go out there. They'll kill me if I go out there. So that's what David is saying in the Hebrew language when he said, refuge failed me. The second word, I can still remember the rejoicing that went on in my heart when God let me see this. And the second word, refuge, it sounds a lot like it, but it's the word makasi, and it means a shelter. Glory to God, it means a hope. It means a hiding place. That's what the word refuge, the second time that it's used, means. a shelter, a trust, a hiding place. And so we need to understand in those dark places in our life, thank God our life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. And beloved, we know tonight that God will help us along the way. The Bible said, Jesus said in John 17, "And the glory which thou gavest me have I given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Listen to these words. "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me." Loved them as thou hast loved me. So tonight, I tell you, it'd be easy to forget, but don't ever forget it. Our life as a Christian is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Somebody said one time, well, if a devil was to get to me, he'd have to go through so much God, he'd be saved himself. Amen. We know the devil ain't going to be saved, but we know this, beloved. God is our protector. God is our refuge. Amen. Our hiding place. Years ago, I was on the Chesapeake Bay. That was before they knocked the bridge down. But anyway, I was on the Chesapeake Bay with a young man in my class. I was 10 years old. I couldn't swim. I won't go into all of that. But anyway, the bay was just, the water was just rough. It was a sailboat. It was a big sailboat. One of them where you could go down inside and take a nap if you wanted to. It had bunk beds in it. And we sailed the Chesapeake Bay all the way down to the Bay Bridge and came back. And I seen them turn, and I didn't know what they were going to do, but what they were doing is turning into a cove. That water, Brother Jason, out there in the middle was just choppy, 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 but they turned into that cove, and it was just like a sea of glass. Amen. There was a place that was protected, a shelter from the storm. Hallelujah. There was a place, beloved, where the water smoothed out. Glory to God, I'm headed to a place where they'll be smooth forevermore. Round about the throne was likened to a sea of glass. Amen. I don't know if there's any tadpoles in that sea, but they won't even jump. Amen. God said it's going to smooth out one day for the child of God. Amen. We see tonight it'll help us by being honest. We know we're being heard. We know we're being hunted just like dogs, just like David did. But we know we're being hid. But then I want to give you this. In verse number 5, we need to know that we're being helped. The Bible said here, "I said, thou art my portion, my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." The Bible said in Psalm 54:4, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." Let your conversation, Hebrews 13:5, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I say this honestly and from the bottom of my heart tonight. One of the problems in politics, one of the problems in preaching, is we got too many men that don't have a spine. And they're afraid of what somebody's going to say. They're afraid of what somebody's going to do. Or somebody going to hold on to their money. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen tonight. God's men don't need to be afraid. Amen. And I'm telling you, we need some men in Washington, D.C. that are not afraid to be men, that'll stand up for what's right. Amen. And we need men in our pulpits. By the way, let me just stop and say this. We need men in our homes. Amen. That'll be a man and be the leader that God wants them to be. The Bible said in Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble." Amen. David, that's what David's saying there in verse number 5. He said, listen, refuge failed me in that idea. There's no way out of here, no way to flee. But when he said, "Thou art my refuge," he's saying, "I got a helper right here with me." Amen. My life is hid in him. And then tonight, if we're looking at the cave experiences in life, we can get help also by being humble. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said, "And attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low." You know, I want you to know that the Bible talks about hills and valleys. And if you listen to some of this preaching on TV, you'd think that the Christian life is all hills. It's all mountains. But that's a lie. Amen. I know better than that. You know better than that. If you just read your Bible, the characters in the Word of God know better than that. David knew better. He said, "I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." I don't know about you, but the Bible said this, even Michael, the archangel, durst not bring a railing accusation against the devil, but he said, "The Lord rebuked thee." It scares me when I hear somebody talking about giving the devil a black eye or kicking him in the shin. You better be careful, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we're no match for him. And Jesus, listen to me, Jesus in the flesh was no match for him. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" Why? Why? Every time the devil come, did Jesus say, "It is written, it is written, it is written"? Amen. I'm telling you, even Jesus, our blessed Lord in the flesh, understood. He had to have some help from outside of himself. Amen. And the Word of God, the devil couldn't handle. Amen. Thank God we can use the Word of God today and we can be humble about it. The Bible said in Micah 6 and verse number 8, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." The Bible said, beloved, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Amen. You know, tonight, listen, I'm not going to get off on it, but we know tonight there's things going on in our country that is an abomination in the sight of God. But you know what a lot of Baptists don't know? Listen to me carefully. They don't know this text. "These six things doth the Lord God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Does anybody know what the first one is? A proud look. Oh, we're good, beloved. Amen. And saying that's an abomination. But God said a proud look. Amen. And the last one in the list was, "He that soweth discord among the brethren." There's people, beloved, listen, in our churches all over America that would never think about putting their stamp of approval on sodomy, but they're so proud it'd choke anybody to death. Amen. Running around gossiping and sowing discord among God's people. Both of them are an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. Hands that shed innocent blood, a lying tongue. It's over in the book of Proverbs. Go over and read it. Amen. I believe with all of my heart we need to be humble and realize that, beloved, we only have what we have because God let us borrow it a little while. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful tonight. I'm not bragging on me, but I'm thankful tonight that I can rejoice when somebody else gets something or somebody else builds something. I don't all of a sudden have to have what they've got. Amen. I can rejoice with them and thank God, amen, that they've got what they've got. Then the last thing tonight in the message, the Bible said, this is something that we really, really need to get a hold of right here in those cave experiences in life, the instruction, and that's being hopeful. Watch what the Bible said in verse 7. "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." David's saying, here I am, but it's going to be different in the future. Amen? He's got some hope about him. Amen? Now, I believe that's important. He's saying, listen, right now I look on my right hand, Brother Junior, and ain't nobody there. But he said, God's going to deal bountifully with me, and the righteous are going to compass me about. There's going to be one on my right hand. I'm going to be surrounded by God's people. He saw some hope. Amen. He said, thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You know, I think about the book of Job. And I think about Job, And I think about what he went through. And he didn't know it. But I'm telling you, in the end, God dealt bountifully with Job. Actually, there's a proof text in the book of Job, in that chapter number 42, beloved, that people are different than the animals. Amen? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, do y'all know that God doubled everything he had? Right? But God didn't give him 20 children. He gave him 10. Are you listening to me? Now, he's got 20 children. He's got 10 in heaven and 10 on earth. Are you listening? Amen? We're different than cattle. We're different, amen, than the animal kingdom. Amen? The man has a soul. And Job didn't know anything about what God was going to do in the end. He needed some hope. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible said, "And thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." I want you to listen to this. He said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. Brother Dale said to me before church tonight, he said, when we ought to have been blistered, God has blessed us. Amen. 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 I'm telling you, beloved, the writer here in Lamentations, Jeremiah, he's saying, listen, it got dark. I was in a lonely place and I didn't have any hope. But I called this to mind and it brought some hope. He said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I like that. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I'll tell you, there'll come an end to the cave. Amen. Amen. There is light at the end of that tunnel, and there is light at the end of that cave experience. I read this. I'll share it with you, and I'll close. During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, a German pastor named Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night as they stayed in a small village inn, homeless and afraid, his wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of the scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. Then going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. Soon afterward, this man, Gerhardt, German man, he felt the burden lifted, and he sensed anew the Lord's presence. Taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. I've never heard this hymn. I'd like to talk to Brother Dale, Brother Ralph, Brother Junior, and see if you've heard it, okay? Here it is. The line says, "Give to the winds thy fears. Hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time. So shall the night soon end in joyous day." You've heard it, Brother Dale? I've never heard it. Amen. But I'll tell you, it's a good song. Amen. It's a wonderful line. It is often in our darkest times that God makes his presence known most clearly. He uses our sufferings and troubles to show us that he is our only source of strength. And when we see this truth, like Pastor Gerhardt, we receive new hope. Are you facing a great trial? Take heart. Put yourself in God's hands. Wait for his timing, and he will give you a song in the night. I like that, don't you? God gives songs in the night. Weeping endures for a night. But thank God joy comes in the morning. Amen. Joy cometh in the morning. Someone said something a while ago. I believe it might have been Brother Jack when he was praying. Honey, we're living on the threshold of the greatest joy you've ever experienced in your life.
Amen.
The coming of the Lord Jesus for His own. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?